I want to know, if when I was growing up, we didn't have middle school. We had junior high and high school. We had to take gym, and I guess at PE. Does that still go on in middle school and that kind of thing? For those of you who may not know me, I'm John Brooks, and we're going to talk about teams and teamwork today. So when I was in junior high school, middle school, 7th, 8th grade, we had to take PE. Occasionally, we'd have some opportunities to play team sports. And I hated that time. I don't know if any of you can relate to this or not, but we'd line up, and generally the two best players would be team captains, whether it was basketball or baseball or whatever it was, and then everybody else would line up across the room. And guess who got chosen last? I mean, I hated that. Because you always know if you're going to be one of the last two, you're just hoping one of these guys is going to pick you and you don't end up being the very last one. The best part was if by some strange reason you got chosen to be team captain. That was good. Now, whenever that happened, which was very seldom, who was the first? Did anybody else on my team with that? Really? Kyle? You got chosen first? Then you weren't on my team, brother. I always last. So if you got to be team captain, did you pick a scrub? No, I didn't. I wanted the first. I wanted the best player. You're a better woman. I wanted the best players. But part of the reason that they did that is because teams then became made up of people that had all different skill set levels. And we're going to talk a little bit today about teams and teamwork, but we're not going to talk about it. You know, so many of the messages that come about teams and teamwork, you talk about what is it that identifies a good team? You got to have a common goal. You got to have a clearly identified leader. People have to know what their responsibility is. There's lots of things that go into making up good teams and teamwork. I really would like to just talk to you about three or four things that really have to do more with our heart and who we are than they do with the skill of being a good team player. Because I think that's really where the Lord wants to meet us. Let me pray for us. Father, I'm so grateful that in your great grace and mercy, even as I talked to Fred earlier, that you, Lord, are in the salvage business. That you, God, have invited us to be part of your family. That we have the privilege to work together to see your name made great to the ends of the earth. And I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts here today. In Christ's name, amen. Does somebody have, who's got a Bible open and ready to go? Ecclesiastes 4, 8 through 12.
Two are better than one because they have a good protector like you.
Great.
For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? One can overpower him who is alone. Two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart.
What a tremendous thing it is for two to walk together. And a cord of three, that's even better. God has wired us in such a way that real success in our life comes as we walk with others who can help us. And there are going to be some things that are really going to be important if we're going to be successful. I want us to think about teams and teamwork in two different areas. One, just in our own personal walk with God, our own personal area of becoming like Christ. And secondly, in the area of God's calling on our life or a task that He's given us to do. In the area of holiness, it's more than just personal holiness. It's Christ-likeness. It's that ability to work together, to be what God has called us to be, to have someone else to be able to speak deeply into our lives, and our willingness to welcome that, to hear that, and to have people help us along the way. And then secondly, in the area of, as we have a calling on our life, that there may be something that God has called us to. Now, I'm curious to know, for those of you that are here, I'm going to give you several little secrets today, one of which was that I was a nerd and was always chosen last. I'll give you some more secrets along the way. But it's difficult sometimes to admit that we need help. And some of us are wired in such a way that we want to do it ourselves. We don't want to say, I need help. We're hesitant to say, I need help. Particularly as we come to the area of God's call on our life. What is it that He wants me to do? How many of you are under 25? Good. And those of you that are under 25, how many of you are asking, I'm not really sure yet what it is that God is calling me to do, kind of the task, the goal, the vision for my life. I don't know what that is yet. Great, you're in good company. I'll tell you another little secret about me. I think I figured it out for me when I turned 50. Now, that didn't mean that I didn't have direction or that I didn't have a sense that I knew God. There were some things about my life that God wanted me to give myself to. I've had a deep heart and passion for college students for more than 40 years. And God's allowed me to be a part of that for over 40 years. But when I was 25, I didn't know what that was going to look like. And actually, when I turned 50, it was just like, I'm okay now not knowing exactly what that looks like. So I want you to take a deep breath. You don't have to have it all figured out when you graduate from college. Graduation from the university or not graduating from the university is no sign. That's not your launching point necessarily. I want you to think about what it takes to walk together with someone else, both in terms of your own personal holiness, being like Christ, and in terms of being a part of God's calling on your life for what the future holds for you. God's first calling on you is to Himself. And that's kind of the first team. But He never intended that we walk alone just with Him. He may call you to lead something. He may call you to follow. He may call you to lead for a time. But He's called us to Himself. He's not called us all to leave, always. I was in my 40s, working with students. I was on a local campus and took a trip into Central Asia. This would have been in 1991. So 20 plus years ago, I was early 40s. Really had a deep sense, not that God wanted me to do some kind of organization, but that somehow God had said, we need to be involved in helping to reach students worldwide. And John, I want you to be a part of that. I didn't have any thoughts of leading an organization. And I had no idea what it would take to try and lead something. Something I did know was that I didn't want to do it by myself. It's a long story, but I want to tell you one little piece of it. As God began to speak to my heart and my life, I felt like, emotionally, I felt like that nobody else really cared about students. And I've been around long enough to know now that, and some of you may or may not know this, but, you know, student ministry, pretty much anywhere in the world, is kind of a stepchild. It kind of gets second place because, you know, as students, you don't make a ton of money. And as far as with the church, you're not, even as you're faithful to tithe, you're probably not tithing what a guy who's been in business for 30 years is tithing. Isn't it amazing you kind of disappear over the holidays? You know, you're not, what's today? What day of the week? We're not in our local church, are we? And in the summers, for some strange reason, some of you want to go home or go overseas on a... You're just not around. How do you build a church on that? And I just kind of felt like, emotionally, people didn't really care about students. As we had an opportunity to be in Central Asia, and I was mad. I was mad at God and mad at people and felt like I was the only one that cared. And you know, that's such a lie from the enemy. But I came back from a trip in 1991 and had a deep sense, or 92, that God, there was something God wanted me to do. And so I just began to write letters and make phone calls and see if anybody else cared about students. And I asked the Lord to give me a promise from Scripture that what He had laid on my heart really was from Him. I was reading my normal reading. This was in early February of 93. And asked the Lord to speak to me about what it was He wanted me to do. And one of the verses that He gave me, and it was a verse, this is totally out of context, it was a verse for me for the moment. But the verse was Numbers 11, 16, and 17. And the Lord said to Moses, Call unto you 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you to be leaders and officials among the people. And have them come to the tent of meeting and stand with you. And I will come and stand with you there. And I will take of the Spirit I've put on you and put that Spirit on them. And the thing that God said to my heart was, you are not in this alone. Call people together. Tell others about the vision that God has put on your heart. I was with a young man just a couple of months ago. He just left Wichita to go plant a church. And we sat over lunch. And I said, tell me what it is that you're doing and why. And he began to talk about what God had led him to do. And he said, do you think I ought to do this? And I said, no, I really don't. He said, why? I said, why don't you talk to me the way God has talked to you? Tell me your passion. Don't tell me with fear. And he just began to lay out what God had laid on his heart. You're young, and don't be afraid of being young. Listen for what God is saying to you and join with some others to do what it is God has called you to do and get some help. Well, I just began to share this crazy idea I had about students going to the nations, trying to reach students overseas. I can't even begin to tell you the number of people that told me I was crazy. Brett Yon, my dear, dear brother, who has walked with me in this, he and Bob Anderson, since we began, told me 5 years after the fact. He was one of the guys that thought I was crazy, but he walked with me anyway. He didn't tell me when I started. He said, John, I thought you were having a midlife crisis, but I wasn't going to leave you alone. And we get a lot of... Some of you know about Focus. Some of you don't have a clue what it is. Some of you are scared to death of what it might be. But you know, the thing about Focus is that it's a team of people from all over the world who have said, we're going to work together to see God glorified to the ends of the earth. So God may call you to a task, and God in my 40s, call me to something very specific. The team you may lead, you may follow, you may be part of a team. But I want to give you just a few things that'll be really helpful for you, whether it has to do with living a Christ-like life or being a part of an organization that's called to a task. Christian Challenge, Campus Ventures, whatever it is. A local church, which is what we all need to be part of. One is, it needs to be the right team. Now, when I say that, that has lots of connotations with it. We need to have the right team. We need to have a good coach on that team. Somebody that knows where they're headed. And that we're ready to follow. It needs to be a team that has a deep bench. How many athletes do we have in here have played on teams? What do I mean when I say needs to have a deep bench? What does that mean?
Lots of people that can contribute.
Lots of people that can contribute. Because a first stringer may get tired. And your role may be to rest a first stringer. You may not be on the first string the first year. Does that mean you don't contribute? Absolutely not. You do contribute. We want to be on a team that has got a deep bench. You've got first stringers and you've got third stringers. And together we are a team. And we all fill different roles. I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. And then we need to be on a team that is committed to training, not trying. How many of you have been on a winning sports team? How much, Micah, how much work is that?
It's a lot.
I mean, do you just get out there and try harder? Does that help you do it? It's just try harder? Is there training that goes into that?
Yeah, we have to train before the season.
Not just during the season. I mean, you're training all year long if you're doing cross country. I am never, ever going to be a pole vaulter. And I'm never going to be able to, at my age, I don't even want to bench press 250 pounds. And frankly, at my age, I'm not even sure I could train well enough to do that. I am not a runner. I had an orthopedic surgeon tell me one time that running is good for two kinds of people, shoe salesmen and orthopedic surgeons. But you know guys that run distance? I've heard stories of men my age that start running at this age and they're running marathons in 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Why? Because they've trained. They've trained. You're in a great place right now in your lives. You want to be a part of the right team. You don't need to be a part of a team that tries harder to do something that they're not trained to do. So get training. And training takes lots of different forms. It's training in Christ-likeness. It's training in skills. How to share your faith. How to lead a small group. How to stay pure with your eyes. How to speak truth. You know, one of the biggest areas that I've struggled with my whole life has been controlling my tongue. And I've had to train to just keep my mouth shut. I can't, the man who has invested deeply in me has rebuked me. I remember the three times he's rebuked me. I can tell you what it was about and where I was. And all three were about the same thing. Keep your mouth shut. Be careful what you say. So I have to think before I speak. And I have to train in that. So it's learning to develop, get on a team of men and women around you that you're going to train together for Christ-likeness. And then you'll train for those things that you're giving yourself to. That task that God has given you, your team to be a part of. You want to train for that. There's a second thing. And by the way, 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, that's a great passage where Paul talks about training. He said, in a race, every runner competes, but only one of them is going to win. And that's the runner who's trained. He said, I buffet my body so that I'm not disqualified, that I'm not preaching to others and saying something to others, and then I'm disqualified myself because I haven't trained. There's a second thing that I think is so very important for teamwork, and that's a deep sense of humility. Deep sense of humility. You know, as I think about the men and women that have, over the last 20 plus years have invested their lives in students, many of them that have invested in your life, that I've known for so many years. I can't tell you the number of times that I've had to say to them, I need you. I need you. I am not complete without Christ. And one of the ways that Christ completes us is by giving us a team of men and women to work together with. And a team is made up of lots of folks who play lots of different kinds of roles. You know, I think about who Focus International is, and it's not what it is, it's who it is. And I've thought about the people that I've needed. Now, I don't really like a lot of details. And God has graciously given me a wife who loves details. And she's helped me to learn to love them better. You know, God is a God of details. You read Scripture, you get a lot of details. I mean, you even get genealogies. I mean, it's detail. But I need somebody in my life to do that. I'm just thinking about the people that God has brought to serve. For those of you that have been part of Focus, I want to tell you about some of the people that are on your team that you didn't even know about. They're a group of five or six women. They're probably in their 70s now. That for the last 20 years, they meet together once a month to stuff envelopes and put out a newsletter and pray for students and for Focus. And they've done that for 20 years. Peggy and I tried putting out the first newsletter. It's awful. I mean, she did fine, but I hated it. And these dear ladies said, we don't have money, but we can pray and we can put labels on envelopes and we can sort those things so that they get out in a timely fashion and the post office isn't mad at you. And I think we started with 200 or 300 to begin with. And they're sending out 3,000 a month now, every month. And it's the same ladies. Patricia and Wanda and Roseanne. They're part of our team. And I need them. We need them. Brett Yon and Bob Anderson, who have known each other longer than I've known them, but have walked with me for 30 years and for the last 22 years have been there as part of a team to say, we want to help students go to the nations. And they're so different. I mean, Brett is a systems thinker, put it on a whiteboard, draw a chart, and Bob is such an encourager to pray and to think and really cause us to trust God more. Does that mean Bob can't draw a chart or Brett doesn't pray? No. It just means God's made a team. Or guys who continue to speak in my life, like Jeff. And I've only known Jeff a few years, couple of years. I met him at a conference he and his wife were doing. They run a marketing firm in Wichita. We met, and just the first time we met, there was this immediate affinity. You know, sometimes in your life, God may give you the privilege to meet somebody, and you just know, right after you meet, we're going to be friends. And that doesn't happen often. I've had it happen a few times. But with Jeff, we're going to be friends. And for a living, he helps companies market their business so that they'll be successful. And they have a deep heart for God and a deep heart for Christian organizations to do things with excellence. So we're trying to think last year about how can we put together this video and really begin to cast some vision for what we're doing with Focus? And I'm talking to my staff. A couple of the guys on staff have graphic design majors, and I'm thinking, boy, they can help us do this. I went to lunch with Jeff, and Jeff said, have you guys ever thought about doing something like this? I said, yeah, we've just been talking about it. He said, why didn't you ask me? I do it for a living. He said, I'd be glad to do that for you. I'll produce it. You don't have to pay for the videographer, but I'll produce it. Okay. I want to be on your team. So we're sitting last year. Gang, I'm embarrassed to tell you these things. I'm ashamed. But I'm glad I got a team. So I'm sitting with Jeff, and we're talking about we'd set a goal for this January, for this month, that we're going to try and do a thing that we needed to raise $200,000. We were really struggling financially. We're dipping into our reserves. It was really hard. So Jeff just began to cast some vision. And I had a pretty good idea about some things to do, but things weren't coming together like I hoped they were. And we're sitting and talking, and I got a little bit excited about some ideas he had. And I said, so how do we let people know when that, you know, if we're going to reach our goal? Once we reach it, do we quit telling people and then it's time to stop because we've reached our goal? What do we do? And he looked at me and he said, John, did you ever stop to think that God might want to do more than you ask Him? Oh, my. That's just what I wanted to hear. Because, you know, the Lord does exceedingly above anything that we would ask or think. And so the best thing you can think of, that's kind of where God starts. And I'm thinking, we're not going to get to this goal until probably June. So we had this thing in place. I did something I've never done before. I had two conversations with two men back in October. And one of them I ask them both for the same thing. I ask them both, would you consider giving a matching gift of $150,000? And the first guy said, you know, John, I really believe in what you're doing, but my wife and I have made a commitment that we don't give that kind of money, and we do give that kind of money, but if we give it, we want to give our time and our energy to what we give that money to. And he said, right now, I just can't. We just don't have time. But I'll help you any other way I can. So then I made another call and asked, talked to the husband and the wife. And they said, you know, we've prayed about it, John, and we'll give you $100,000 to match. I thought, great. We're halfway there. Only if we get the other 100. 200, we raised another 125,000. Why? Because there's a team. It's not about the money. And I couldn't do it. I had to have somebody willing to speak to my character and say, did you ever think that maybe you're just not believing God enough? Who are you willing to have speak to your character like that? Humility. So many people that the Lord has brought into our lives, and many of you that I've known through the years, and the way that God has used you to challenge me and encourage me because of your willingness to trust God. Thank you. Do we have humility to say, I need help? I need to be on a team that can really help me. You have to ask for it. Guys like Joseph, did he ask for it? Who was on his team? Did you ever stop and think about Joseph or Daniel, who was on their team in the early years? Who did Joseph ask for help from? Well, there was a cupbearer and a baker. You know, when you get to see the king, would you remember me? Would you remember me? And are you willing to look to somebody and say, I need help? Can I be on your team? Will you be on my team? It takes real humility. There might come a time when your team is not around. And there's that moment where God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And they may not be with you in person. Your team may not be. But have you ever gotten that note, that text, that email that said, I just want you to know I'm praying for you today. I'm thinking about you right now. Did God ever bring somebody to mind where you thought, I just need to stop and call them and let them know I'm praying for them. I don't know what's going on, but now's the time for me to let them know I'm thinking about them. I think a second thing, besides a heart, just a humble heart, is a heart of gratitude. One of the things gratitude does is that it really helps us to develop dependency. Gratitude helps us to develop dependency. And we are needy, needy people. I know that some of you in this room are raising support. You're on staff and you have to raise support to do that. And that was a really difficult thing when Peggy and I, when I did student work, I was the only student minister in Kansas, Nebraska that I got a salary. I didn't have to raise my support. And so, unlike all of the other guys in Kansas, Nebraska, that was kind of a new thing for us. And when we started Focus, yeah, it was really new. We had kids getting ready to go to college, and we'd just never done it before. And it was hard. And one of the things that we've learned through the years, there have been a lot with that. But you've got a team, and there's nothing that goes farther than gratitude. My dear wife, every time we see somebody who supported us, honey, did you think to thank Max? Did you think to thank so-and-so? Did you remember that they sent a check? And I think sometimes there's a sense of embarrassment. It's hard to say thank you. But, oh, if you see, that's what builds your team. It's what builds your team. It's that deep sense of gratitude that we're working together in this, that we can't do it without each other. And so as people bless you, whether it's with your support or speaking a word of encouragement, I don't know how many times I've told Jeff, I hated it when you told me I wasn't trusting God. But thank you. And I don't know how many times I've repeated that story. It had such profound impact on me because I thought I was a real man of faith. A word of gratitude that speaks specifically to what you're thankful for just builds that sense of team unity. Whether it's in your own life as you develop in Christ's likeness, or it's your small group that you're working with to reach the campus, or that special project that you're working on. Any of you ever work on projects on campus with non-Christian classmates for class? Did you ever get frustrated because they didn't pull their load? What about the folks that have brought something to that team? Do you thank them? See, we live in community. We live as a part of a team. All kinds of different teams. And one thing that'll strengthen that team is to say thank you. And be specific. What are you thanking them for? They may have made a mess of one thing, but there's something they did right. Thank them. One of the things I'm learning from our grandkids, and I'll tell one of them, Aiden, I am so proud of you. Really, Grumpy, what are you proud of me for? Be specific. Be specific. Heart of gratitude. And then the last thing. Gang, get in the game. If you're going to be on a team, get in the game. How many of you have seen the movie Rudy? He was always part of that team, wasn't he? And he got in the game. We may not be in the game for long. We may not be the superstar. But we got to get in the game. And he trained and trained and trained and trained. And there were just some things he didn't have that some of the other players had. He didn't have the size, but he had the heart. We can train how to do evangelism until we know it better than anyone else. But until we get in the game, we're not going to experience. What is it Philemon 6 says? I pray you'll be effective. I pray you'll be faithful in sharing your faith so that you'll have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ Jesus. We want to get in the game. What are the things that are keeping you from being in the game? Have you been challenged this week, this weekend, to get in the game? Man, I have. Do you feel like, man, I'm not ready to get in the game? Well, trying harder isn't going to put you on first string. But training may. And the truth is, in the game that God has called us to, we're all first stringers. We all play a different role. Ladies, that, now, you probably won't understand this, but we used to lick stamps. That was the worst part of putting a newsletter together, was licking stamps. Some of us had a little more sense and used a wet cloth than. We're all part of the team. And there's not one role that's more important than another, but we need each other. We need each other. We talk about teams and teamwork, but gang, we need each other for our own personal Christ-likeness. I need to learn from you about what it is to be faithful. I need to learn from you about how to keep some electronic machine turned on. And you need to learn from me. We need each other. You know, I wondered, seems like everybody that's around that's speaking this week's old. And that used to kind of bother me. I'm thinking, well, we're all the young guys. Well, they're there. You've got some great men and women that are investing in your life. Their hair's just not gray yet. And we've made a lot of mistakes. But one thing we have is history. I used to tell my kids, I'm not even going to tell you which one, told one of our kids, we don't want you to learn the hard way. Well, Daddy, you did, just let me. All right. They would never say that today to their children. So we're in this together, gang. We're in it together. Teams and teamwork. You know really what we're talking about? We're talking about the body of Christ. However you dress it up, whatever you call it, we're talking about the body of Christ. It was so fun. You saw it happening on stage when, was it Dave and Cody? Had a little hug meet. That's what God's done. He's put us together as the body. Don't miss it. It'll take humility. It'll take gratitude. It'll take getting in the game. But don't miss it. Okay, I'm done. And that's early. But I'd be glad to take, if you guys have some questions, I'd be glad to take some time for some questions. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. Your first little point you gave about whether it's Christ-like or organization, you need to be on the right team. And you mentioned that you have to have a good coach who knows where they're going. How could you encourage us to support our leaders when we don't understand exactly where they're going?
I think the best thing to do is ask questions. Be a good question asker. You know, there's a lot of help and encouragement that comes with the right questions and the way you ask them. You can have the right question and ask it in the wrong way, and you won't be answered. You'll be ignored because there's an unteachable spirit. There may be things that are going on that you're not aware of, and then with a real learner's heart, just ask good questions and ask it with an attitude of a learner's heart. Now, not something like, why in the world are you doing that? Don't you see that's really stupid? You don't even have to use the word stupid. The way you ask it can come across that way. You might say something like, you know, I'm really eager to see what God's going to do in this. Can you help me to see kind of the bigger picture? I actually had one of our staff, I had this conversation just last week. And I realized that for me, I knew where we were headed, and I'm thinking, well, they ought to know too. And they didn't. So asking questions and just trying to draw out with a real learner's heart, I think, helps. Sure.
When God puts us under someone's authority, if they're the leader, and I think a lot of times we miss out by not being loyal.
Yeah.
Brett thought John was having a midlife crisis, but he was hanging with him. He was a loyal friend. But even more, when we're under someone's authority, we might not understand, but if God's put us there, then that requires an amount of loyalty to that person. And sometimes it's revealed along the path as you're following the leader.
And when I talk about the right team, the team you're on right now is the right team. God has something for you where you are today. Do you think Joseph was thinking he was on the right team? He spent a good bit of his time in prison learning. Would he have ever been ruler over all of Egypt had he not had time in prison? I don't think so. You may feel like you're in prison. But, you know, honestly, gang, where you are right now is where God has you. And that's the right team for you. So learn where you are. And learning doesn't come with complaining. It comes with a learner's heart, humility, asking questions, giving your best where you are.
Yeah. What are some of the biggest team killers?
Disloyalty is huge. Not controlling your tongue, which plays out as disloyalty. Laziness. Not working hard, you know. Not being faithful to what you've been assigned. It may seem like it's not that important, but it is. And there's a reason in it. I would say those are some of the big ones.
Lack of clear relationships.
Anything else? Yes, ma'am.
You said clear relationships. How do you, as a leader, fill that role? If someone isn't following the way you would hope they would, how do you lead if there's no one following?
I'm hearing a couple of different questions, so let me see if we can clarify that a little bit.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, how do you still lead someone who maybe doesn't understand your vision or doesn't understand what you're trying to accomplish, how do you lead them? How are you supposed to? Because obviously you have to have a follower in order to lead a team, you know?
Yeah. So the question is, how do you lead when you don't really have someone following? There's somebody maybe you've been given responsibility for, and they're not really following your leadership, or you have a vision. You know, I leadership is earned. It takes time. There are different kinds of leaders. There's positional leadership. You may be put in a place of positional leadership, and you may or may not have people following you. If they're paid to follow you, they will. They may do it with a whole heart. They may not. But in the kingdom of God, leadership is earned. And it's earned via the avenue of what? Serving. People will do what makes sense to them. And you will earn leadership. You'll earn it. The way you earn it is by serving. So take opportunities to serve every chance you get. There's a young man that I know. When I first met him, probably the first year that I knew him, I bet he didn't say two words. The shyest man that I have ever known. Wouldn't look you in the eye. Wouldn't talk to you. And he got in a training program and began to train. And he did that by coming up with a list of questions to ask people. And it was just brutally painful for him. You know, I'm going to ask this person this question, and I'm going to look him in the eye when I do it, and I'm going to talk to him. But one thing he did that I watched him do again and again and again and again, and he still does it, was to serve. He watched around him to see what needed to be done, and he did it. I watched that happen. I don't even know the young man's name. It doesn't really matter because it's not the issue. But I watched it happen in the first night we were in the large group meeting when a gal got sick and made a mess. And I watched a young man quietly get up and go to the bathroom and get paper towels and clean that up. Not a word was said. That's servant heart. He was aware, and he served. And those are the kind of people that you and I will follow. Because that means that's a person who's going to lay their life down for you. That kind of leadership is earned. And give it some time. Leadership is developed over time. Anything else? Yes, ma'am.
If you are on a team and they are following like one idea or one way, and you have an idea for a better way, how do you bring that up without seeming bossy or controlling?
If you're not the team leader, you might go to the team leader and say, "Have you thought about this?" And then die to it. Just die to it. Because it's as part of a team, God has placed someone else in that role. And I promise you, all of us have been, are, or will be on teams where we have a better idea. Often, we don't have as much information as the team leader has. And he or she is not at a place where there is time or it's appropriate to share with everyone, here's why we're doing what we're doing. So, if you can do it in an appropriate way, not in a public way, to the team leader, just say, "Have you thought about this?" And then die to it. Especially if you can say, "You know, if I can help you do that in any way, I'd be glad to. And nobody needs to know it's my idea." That'd be one way I think you could do that. Well, thank you guys. I hope this has been a great week for you. And I know it has been. It has been for me. God's really challenged me, and so grateful to be here. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for these men and women and for their heart for you, their desire to be what you've called them to be. And God, for those that are here who may be struggling just with some sin in their life or a desire to really follow you more closely, I pray especially right now, Father, that by Your Spirit, You would bring them to a place of humility in their lives, that they would reach out and ask for help, and that Your body would surround them and strengthen them as You, by Your Spirit, strengthen us all. Thank You in Christ's name. Amen.
Copyright by The Navigators, 2014. All rights reserved.